Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults. Also, the views expressed in Those Damn Ross Kids do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We got it all here. Oh man, I love this new boom stand. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so pro.
You are a pro.
That's right.
Cole's on the can't get a job, gonna work from home plan. Can't find a studio, I'll make my own. Fuck you guys.
God damn it. If you build it, they will come.
The sports equivalent of Cole saying, I'm taking my ball.
Taking my ball and going home, specifically going home to my home studio. Oh,
screw you guys.
What else? What else would I logically do in this situation? I don't know.
I mean, you're a year from graduation.
Yeah. I know. It fucking sucks.
God, dude. you doing this podcast from your bathtub?
They say it's like you're real warm and then you fall asleep.
Between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
It's episode 30 of Those Damn Ross Kids.
Episode 30. Your name is Chris. My name is Cole. This is a podcast. It's a conversation between brothers. We talk about things. It's an ongoing conversation. We talk about how the world is disappointing us. Is that a fair appraisal of our MO, of our mission statement?
My elevator speech for it is it's a swirl of glitter in the beaker of life.
Yeah. It's magic. It's a snow globe. It's a microcosm. It's a snow globe. It's a glint.
Just how they teleported people in Star Trek.
Really?
Yep, that's how that effect was done.
Oh, that's cool. So they did like some matte photography and like overlaid that.
Oh, was it? Thanks, LeVar Burton.
He needs work. He really does. He was a good guy.
He's timeless.
Reading Rambo, man.
That's where I learned it.
Yeah,
I learned that on reel to reel in like second or third grade.
No, reading Rambo was the shit.
Yeah, in that room between Mrs. Nottingham's and the rest of them in the art class.
I think
assembly room off of Mr. Fry's science class. That's right.
Let's alienate everybody who did not go to our elementary school.
Hi, four people. How are you?
How's it going? You recognize those names.
Yes, you do.
Everybody else.
You know the school in the room.
Everybody else, forget you.
So cold in that room. Felt good in summertime.
School is kind of bullshit. School is basically prison, right?
With swings.
Wait, so you're telling me there aren't swings in prison?
I don't think so.
Oh, damn it. Can I make a swing?
Not outside.
No. Not...
You could probably make one out of bed sheets.
Yeah.
The flesh of your celly.
I know, whatever.
That's... Use the top end.
Where'd you get all that leather?
No.
Just... I don't know. Hey, Chris, tell me a story because we're digging a hole here. We're talking about...
We're talking about skinning
a person for swing leather, okay?
No, we're not.
I was.
Oh.
Okay.
You were speaking of school.
Oh.
Please say that Coleman Eaton Jr., a 60-year-old substitute teacher in Georgia, went to the back of the class and told the kids not to turn around and look as he whipped out his member, exposing himself to his fourth grade students as he urinated into a trash can.
Okay.
Please say Eaton has not admitted to the in-class pee break, but they said that they have evidence in the form of a urine-filled trash can.
Let's get Matlock on this case.
I hope the proof isn't in the pudding, because we're gonna have some hungry kids.
Oh man.
Yep, that happened.
Yeah, that happened. Hey, you know what? Man's gotta piss. You know?
What if he was a long-term sub?
He told them not to look, okay? What other due diligence? Do you think he's going to leave those kids alone with each other? They tear themselves apart. You ever read Lord of the Flies? That's exactly what it's about.
That could have flown in science class.
What do you mean?
This whole scenario.
Oh, just like this is a demonstration.
I needed some urine. I made some urine. What do you want me to do?
Chris, the lesson is, A, the truth is inside us. The love is inside us, but the urine is also very much inside of us, and it wants out badly.
And he's just trying to help the school system out. He's not going to make them pay for good urine. He's got good urine right there.
No, why would you want to go to some super lab to get mass distributed urine when you can roll your own?
Exactly.
You can roll your own urine, okay? And you do it in front of kids.
That's what I do.
Well, I mean, at least...
I mean...
Okay, so if we're going to go all forensic on this and say, hey, there's urine in the trash can, and we've established there's urine everywhere. Okay, so yes, there's urine in the trash can, but at least, and I think this speaks to his favor, at least he wasn't erect when he was peeing.
That's a talent.
That's a talent
I have.
Yeah, no, you just, I don't know why, but that just, if he was erect, there'd be piss everywhere.
That's the true tap scenario. You just push it down and it comes out.
Let's talk about the mechanics of pissing with an erection.
I just did. Done.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. I'll edit that part in before what you said, and that way it'll make sense. Let me make a note here on my legal pad.
Oh,
looking at number 1127.
What's up, Zach?
Okay. Who's Zach?
Zach and Chris.
Who's Zach? Oh, okay. All right. All right, yeah. Like because of the hangover.
You just write that down on my legal pad.
Yeah, okay. Hey, you know, somebody has to care about this goddamn show.
I do.
Okay, all right. I wanted to see. Hey, Chris, what's the angriest you've ever been, like, at a counter situation?
I blacked out. Yeah. I don't remember.
the deposition is really the only reliable source for what happened in that incident.
It was at a grocery store.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have no idea. All I know is I woke up with chicken skin on my face and a cabbage in my ass. So.
You know, that's how they prepare it in Hungary. It's ass cabbage.
Ass cabbage and face skin. Oh.
I made a terrible joke on the air this morning. I was talking about the weather, saying it's going to be 90 degrees today. And I said, Sunday, more like sauna day, am I right?
And then you looked around and you were alone.
And then... The people in the studio laughed. It was funny.
Too bad they weren't mic'd. Did you describe them?
I did say yes. The people in the studio are laughing at that. I'm allowed at least one, folks.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And then I attempted to hang myself, but I failed. So then I'm here. So, oh well.
God, you have a captive audience. It's not like they're gonna get up and leave the room. They'd probably run into the wall.
Jesus. For people who listen to the podcast, I work at a radio station for the blind. So that joke is especially cruel. But can I tell you about
a
man
on the half hour, by the way,
don't ever do it. I get so angry. Cause that's when I'm on the air. Damn it. No. So I want to tell you about somebody whose counter anger is just absolutely heroic. Okay. So Jason West, a Utah man, was annoyed after receiving an unexpected $25 medical bill from a local clinic. He fully intended to dispute the bill, but his methods got him into a heap of trouble. West showed up at the clinic and asked if they accepted cash. When the clerk at the counter said, yeah, West proceeded to dump 2,500 pennies across the counter and demanded that the staff count them. Authorities responded by citing West for disorderly conduct, which is a crime that carries a fine of around 14,000 pennies.
You calculated that.
It's just $140 times 100, man. That's, yeah.
But you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. This guy's working on a whole other level. I'd call it enlightenment if it wasn't, you know, like such a terribly unenlightened thing for a person to do. To do But yeah, he straight did it. Pennies were everywhere. But he gave them their money. It's legal tender. It's cash.
It is. People get angry, though.
Yeah.
But he's trustworthy. He wasn't dropping dimes.
Dropping dimes.
Yeah. It's when you rat somebody out, I think.
Oh, I don't.
Ghetto. I try to pretend ghetto.
Let me see here. Let me hit up the...
I remember vague references from...
I know podcast. You can spend a nickel in the clink. Dropping dimes.
Time and a bottle. No.
Dropping dimes is the act of snitching, ratting, or otherwise disclosing information meant to hurt or discredit someone else. This is a play on tips and selling someone out. So you sell some, like, you know, you sell somebody out by dropping dimes.
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Yeah. Seem to trustworthy.
Yeah. Dimes, dimes concurrency here. The dime is a coin, 10 cents, 1/10 of a United States dollar, labeled formerly as one. I can keep going. Did you know that the dime has, it's existed since, 1796 when it was worth, adjusted for inflation, $50.
Really?
Yep.
God, I'm so rich.
I am rich. All I need is a time machine.
Got it.
Although you never see like the movie plot, you never see somebody go back in time and try to spend their money and have people say, "What is this nonsense? This is counterfeit fake future money. Holograms are from the future." I don't know. I don't know how people in the past speak. I assume that they move their arms a lot, which is what
Ulysses.
I'm doing.
What the hell kind of name is that?
I tried reading that once, but it's inscrutable.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't know.
Currency humor.
Dun-dun-dun. Oh, boy. No, I was talking about the James Joyce book, but continuing.
They're all just fat cats.
Hey, you know. Oh, do you have a story about cats?
Oh, I didn't. What did I say?
You said they're all just fat cats. Usually when you say something like that, it leads into a different story. It's a segue.
I didn't mean to, but I do have a story about fat cats.
Oh, nice. Hey, you know, funny coincidences.
A Central Ohio animal shelter with an abundance of chubby cats is having a sale on its fattest felines, hoping a discount entices potential owners to take one home. The Capital Area Humane Society in Hilliard, Ohio, says the fat cats are on sale this summer for $15 each, or the bargain price of 2 for $20. This is all instead of the usual $70 adoption price. 9 of the shelter's 55 cats are overweight. Volunteers keep them in an area that offers them extra room to run and burn off calories. The largest cat is a 6-year-old black and brown short hair named Zeebe, who weighs 23 pounds.
Zeebe, that seems like a missed opportunity. They should call him LB.
Don't know what that means.
Pounds. LB's pounds.
Oh, you're so funny.
I know, right?
You should do this for a living.
Fuck you. Okay, continue. Okay, so fat people are worth less.
Pretty much.
Cats, rather. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Let alone two fat people are worth $5 more than what you would pay for one fat person.
It's a fire sale.
Hi, I'm looking for two fat friends. Oh, what? $5 more?
Can I get two overweight people? If they clock in at less than a combined 700, I will walk away from this table.
Mm-mm.
I will leave everything on this table for you to take because the offer is through. Basically, what I'm saying is I want to provide context for myself.
That is what you do.
I'm not a svelte individual. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but you know, I could stand to look a little better. And if it's a choice between working at, you know, we're working at it and buying an easy solution.
You're not as good as you once was.
Well, the obvious joke here is, are they making sure that no Asian themed restaurants are swinging by to.
Can I just please, you point out the obvious and easy joke and everything.
I know.
And I think that you somehow think that you're sidestepping actually making that joke.
I think you pointed
me out. I'm not going to say the easy thing.
What's
a lesser man might go with the more obvious.
Am I all of a sudden Tobias Funke?
I believe that you might be.
Damn it.
I mean, I knew that you were a card-carrying member of the Blue Man Group, but I didn't realize that it was the same chapter as Mr. Funke.
You cannot denigrate my status in that institution. I'm the only person. I'm the only blue man that is allowed to have hair.
I guess so. I just you do say that a lot.
Okay.
A lesser man might make da-dum-boom. The obvious, boom, boom.
Okay, I apologize. I apologize. I think it's my way of just stating that it's there. But you're right; it probably is just a really kind of roundabout way of making that joke. I don't know. It feels cheesy. I feel like I'm being meta by sidestepping it.
You're being yourself, dude. You're being the person that you are trying so hard to not be.
You're saying that by struggling, I'm just making the noose tighter.
Yeah, just go my way. Take the obvious joke and then make it horrible, like to the point that people want to throw up.
The only way out is through.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then you just back up a little bit and just jam it through again.
Give a false sense of security.
Yeah,
that's funny. I mean,
you're gonna get questioned sometimes under bright lights.
Yeah. under bright bare bulbs that swing from the ceiling.
Yeah,
that's it comes with the territory. Just as podcasters, we lead very dangerous lives. I mean, all this sitting still and talking,
it's very hard.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, I spent like 3 hours today working up the show.
Yeah, well, give me one of those things.
What?
Oh no, it's my turn. Okay. Well, we broke the flow. So thanks. thank. Are you okay?
I'm sorry.
Kind of sounded like something tried to burst out of your head. Is this some kind of alien headburster scenario?
I was just trying to imagine what it would be like to be a Darwin frog.
Oh God.
The Darwin frog coughs up 10 babies at a time. A Darwin frog coughed up 10 babies in a Santiago, Chile zoo, a milestone in a project to save the amphibians from extinction. The vulnerable species is one of two members of the only genus on Earth that rears its young inside its vocal sac, a job that is taken on by males. The frogs have a small opening below their tongue. After eggs hatch, the male takes the tadpoles into his mouth and manipulates them into that opening in his vocal sac. For about 60 days, they go all the way through to development inside his throat. At that point, when they're ready, fully developed, he coughs them up, fully formed miniatures.
That's some like Greek mythology level shit right there.
Mm-hmm.
Athena was born from Zeus's forehead, and these things are born from the throat babies. Chris,
yep,
that is horrifying. That should be taught in like abstinence only sex ed classes. If you go down on this dude, you're going to deliver throat babies. They're going to be little lizard men. Oh, this is bad. No, this is good. Is it bad? I can't decide. Maybe it's neutral. That's interesting, though.
They just come out and tap dance on your desk, across your headboard, and call you a whore in a vaudeville voice.
This lady opened her mouth. She let in an invader, and then she gave some secrets to the Kaiser. Yeah.
Or.
Yeah, I don't know. Better to spill your seed into a whore's belly than to ejaculate a bunch of baby frogs. I don't know. That's all I can take away from it. I view things through a twisted biblical filter, a belter, I call it. Well, that's kind of sciencey. Can I take you back to
the science?
No, Chris, I don't know why you resist. I just take you there anyway.
All right.
Continuing. Okay, so there's this thing called hypertrichosis, which is also known as werewolf syndrome. It is a genetic condition that causes uncontrolled growth of thick, lustrous hair on faces and bodies. In men, the growth occurs on the face and the eyelids, leading to a werewolf-like appearance, which gives the condition its name, while women get random patches all over their body. The condition is extremely rare, with around 100 sufferers worldwide, most of them in the same families, similar to fatal familial insomnia, if you'll remember that from that one episode that we did. Now, here's something funny. That's bizarre in its own right. But this might have legitimate medical uses because the genetic / familial aspect has enabled scientists to discover where the hypotrichosis gene lies on the human genome after studying a whole family in Mexico that has this. The condition is caused when an extra chunk of genetic information is inserted into the X chromosome, a mutation likely caused by the SOX3 gene. This information might actually be useful to scientists looking to cure baldness or hirsutism, presumably by growing hair all over the body, shaving it, making it into a wig, and putting it on the person.
Where do you want me to go with that?
I've got no idea. It's interesting, right?
Yeah, it's cool. I saw the pictures.
Yeah, they're scary, right?
Yeah, like, I'd rather have that girl than the tree man.
Fuck the tree man. I
won't.
You're gonna have to.
Are you here?
You wake up in a dark room. You're handcuffed to the bed. You can't remember how you got there. There's a note that says you must fuck the tree man to escape this room. It's slowly filling up with water. The door creaks open, and then the tree man lumbers through, creaking and groaning. He is wearing polka dotted panties. Well, they're not so much worn as they are kind of hung across his protruding limb. Have fun.
Oh God.
Just to think of your ass as the chipper.
I could do that.
Okay. I've always said you had a chipper ass.
Yeah, it's very
in the sense it's perky. You have a perky ass, Chris. That's my roundabout way of saying that.
Just think of your ass as a chipper for the tree man. Oh my God.
That was the joke. Thank you.
That's funny.
Oh man.
That is so funny.
Hey Chris, do you have a quiz for me?
Mm-hmm.
We're about at the halfway point here.
We can do the quiz.
Yeah, let's do the quiz.
All right. I'm going to give you three titles. One of these titles is a Grammy nominated album.
Okay.
One of these titles is a Oscar nominated film.
All right.
One of these titles is a gay erotic video award winner.
I have no idea how this is going to work.
From this point forward, the gay erotic video award winner will be referred to as a Dickie.
Fuck me. All right.
Mm-hmm. Whoop, that. How do you know the first question?
I'm clairvoyant, Chris.
All right.
I went back in time. I made a paradox that rendered me both alive and dead at the same time, and I can see through space.
So your answers, I give you three titles. Your answers will be Grammy, Dickie, Oscar. First three. Victory at Sea, Anchors Away, Here Comes the Navy.
Anchors Away is the Grammy. Here Comes the Navy is the film. And what was the other one?
Victory at Sea.
No, Victory at Sea is the film. Here Comes the Navy is the Dickie.
All of them are wrong.
Damn it!
Victory at Sea is a Grammy nominee from 1960 by Robert Bennett.
Okay.
Anchors Away is the 1995 winner of a Dickie for solo video.
Solo video.
Here Comes the Navy is an Oscar nominee for best film in 1934.
Okay. I like that. I like those old films that are like, here's some footage of a boat.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Right. Neato.
Great. Next one.
All right. Three brothers, four daughters. Dream of the Blue Turtles.
Dream of the Blue Turtles is a Grammy.
God damn you, Sting.
Three Sisters is the film, and then the other one's the Dickie.
Negative.
Four brothers. Three Sisters is a gay porn.
Hold on. No, it's three brothers, four daughters.
Oh, okay.
But Dream of the Blue Turtles is a Grammy nominee.
Okay.
For best album by Sting in 1986.
Yeah, that had Field of Gold on it, didn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Four Daughters is a 1938 Best Picture nominee for an Oscar. And Three Brothers is a 1998 Dickey winner for Best Cum Shot.
Wait. Oh, we could do a whole episode on the categories at the Dickies.
Yep, they're really good.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to get to some more. I made sure when I picked all the Dickies that I got different categories.
Okay, great.
Yeah, they're all different.
Nice.
Well, no, there's, yeah.
No, it's couple, actually horrifying.
There's some overlap. There's some cross ooze, but.
Jesus. Right. Fields of Gold is from 10 Summoner's Tales, which is equally amazing of a title.
Didn't even hear you typing.
It's because of this boom stand. It's amazing. Okay, continue.
All right, number three. Why Marines Don't Kiss. The Smiling Lieutenant. Flaming Pie.
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to say that Why Marines Don't Kiss is the Dickie. Flaming Pie is the Oscar. And then the third one is the Grammy.
Flaming Pie and The Smiling Lieutenant are opposite. Flaming Pie was a album nominated for a Grammy in 1998 by Paul McCartney.
Okay.
The Smiling Lieutenant is from 1932, an Oscar nominee. And Why Marines Don't Kiss is a 1996 Dickey winner for depiction of safe sex.
Wait a minute. For depiction of... Why would depiction of same sex be
safe sex? Safe.
Oh, safe sex. Okay. That's depiction safe. Of same sex would like that everything at the Dickies would win that because everything depicts the same sex.
Okay.
Well, the real game here is picking the gay porn, but continue.
Is it?
I don't know. That for me is the end game here. Do I spot the gay porn?
You just want to know it, don't you?
Yeah, I'm amassing.
All right,
quite a list of recommended scoops.
You're halfway through.
Okay.
1990s gay porn. You're almost there. Number four. Lady for a Day.
Okay.
Tramp Shining.
Tramp Shiny?
Shining.
Okay.
Razor Close.
Razor Close is the film. Tramp Shining is the album, and then Lady for a Day is the Dickie.
Tramp Shining is the album.
Okay.
Grammy nominee from 1969 by Richard Harris. Lady for a Day is an Oscar nominee from 1933. And Razor Close won the 1992 Dickie for Special Interest.
For like shaving?
Shaving fetish. Yes, that's great.
God. I love fetishes. It amuses me because I am shocked by none of them, but I always laugh when I find out about a new one.
Sounds like a thriller, doesn't it?
It does. Razor Close. It sounds like something that like Sergio Leone would have directed. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right, Divine Miss M.
Divine Miss M.
A Thousand Clowns. Slave Auction.
Oh, God. The joke answer would be A Thousand Clowns for the Dickie. Okay. The Divine Miss M would have to be the movie. 1,000 Clowns, the... What was the other one besides A Thousand Clowns?
Slave Auction.
And Slave Auction would be the Dickie. So A Thousand Clowns is the album and Divine Miss M is the film.
Okay. Divine Miss M is a album title by Bette Midler, nominated for a Grammy in 1974.
It speaks to my credit that I do not know any Bette Midler albums. So, aside from, what was that, like Wings? Did you ever know that you're my... Okay.
Mm-hmm. You are my hero. Yeah. A Thousand Clowns, nominated for an Oscar in 1965, and Slave Auction... Winner of a Dickie in 1994 for Best Cum Shot.
I love that these go back to the 90s.
Best Cum Shot across the Atlantic.
That just that like all that makes me think of is like a gay porn version of like the of oh god, what was it? The Right Stuff.
It's the Trading Triangle, 3 points of cum.
I just picturing the gay porn spoof of the Right Stuff. Chuck Yeager.
It does happen. It exists, by the way. In my pre-pro, that exists.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. I gotcha. Yep. I just
There are a whole slew of yeah. There is a movie called Snatch Adams and Forrest Hump.
No, I mean that's like a really well regarded trope within the pornography industry. They just take something that's popular and then they riff on it.
Yeah. Snatch Adams. You would think that there'd be some sort of gatekeeper at the big production companies that aren't gonna let their video be named something that somebody could so easily make something else.
Oh yeah.
Bareback Mountain. I don't know. All right, last one.
Okay.
My cup runneth over. 100 men and a girl. Honorable discharge.
Oh god, that I think that's the closest one. All right. My cup runneth over sounds like an album. 100 men and a girl would not be in the Dickies, so by elimination that one is the film, leaving Honorable Discharge to be the the Dickie.
That's true.
Okay.
Honorable Discharge won the Dickie for Best Erotic Scene in 1993. 100 Men and a Girl was nominated for an Oscar in 1937. And My Cup Runneth Over was a Grammy-nominated album by Ed Ames in 1968.
Okay. That was good. I liked that. That was fun. I'm not really sure how I did. Those things are difficult to score, but
I just like to put them together.
Yeah,
it takes a long time, dude.
It does. It's a difficult thing, and it takes a lot. So, is there a Wikipedia page with Dickie winners?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about how I do this or not?
No, that's fine.
All right. So do you want to tell some stories? Do you want me to segue? Because I got a pretty good segue here.
You segue.
You want me to segue?
Yeah, you segue. Although by putting the word segue in here, we are ruining the effect.
Do you want me to transition into another topic that I have researched?
Yes, belabor it more. That does not defeat the point.
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
You hate it. You want to be professional, but I'm not going to let you.
What's that?
You want to be professional, but I'm not going to let you.
No, you're going to be the albatross around my neck.
Uh-huh. Yep. See, no, I want you to. You go ahead.
Okay, all right, well, fine, after all that to do. All right, okay.
What's your... Give me one word.
Give
me one word out of the next thing you want to talk about.
Okay.
Just like a hint.
Party.
I love parties.
Do you?
Do you know who else loves parties? Facebook.
1,500 people in Germany.
Yep.
Well, originally it was supposed to be 15,000, but they flaked on the invite. Can you imagine? 15,000 people dropping in? Like, there are not enough chairs for you.
God, your pool's small.
We pull from the same sources. Oh no, okay. Sorry, I thought you were getting meta with me. No, yeah, there is not nearly. We're out of punch. I'm gonna have to go get more sherbet and more 7-Up. Please hold. do they have sherbet over in Germany? Do you know?
They probably do.
They probably call it like sorbet. Hey, Chris, spell sherbet for me.
It's Herbert with an S in front of it. Two R's.
No, there's only one R in sherbet.
Three T's.
Sherbert. No, there's only one R in sherbet. Sherbet. That's how it's
Shebet.
Shebet.
It's a frozen Jewish treat.
Shabbat shalom. Okay.
Shabbat shalom.
Should we tell these assholes the story, or are we the assholes? I don't know. Let's tag team this asshole, Chris. All right. So girl over in Hamburg, Germany, she puts up an invite to her 16th birthday. She forgets to make it private just for her friends. By the time she notices, 15,000 people said they were attending before the family put out like a public thing saying like, no, don't come. It's like not a thing anymore. We're not doing this thing. They even hired a private security firm, for their home. But, what happened?
I actually didn't write anything for this because I knew that you would take it.
Okay, so you have gone back.
I was on the edge with the frog thing. I'm like, that sounds a lot like Science Zone.
I just about used that for the Science Zone, actually, but I decided against it. Right. Okay, so you, in turn, seeing my plan, you went back into time and worked out another time paradox where you were alive and dead at the same time, but you could see the past. And you being right here, you looked into the past and realized that I probably... Oh, God. This is a screenplay. No. Okay. So the 1500 people showed up and they were outside. They're outside there having a peaceful showdown with the police, who were not too terribly pleased with, you know, all these people showing up in the neighborhood. The partygoers were brandishing signs saying, "Where is Thessa?" Thessa being the girl who put the, who put out the invitation. And then another sign said, "Thessa, celebrating a birthday is not a crime." Apparently reprimanding her for calling the police. Some people and police officers were injured, and Thessa was in hiding for the whole thing. Turns out she had a smaller, quiet celebration at her grandparents' house, which is a shame, since many of the guests brought her homemade cake and gifts. I like this. I enjoy. Would this be considered a flash mob?
God damn you. I hate you so deep.
Why? Because
you just stole the words right out of my mouth. Like, I literally lean forward into the mic and I'm like, what a nice flash mob.
Yeah.
That's what was going to come out of my face.
Oh, well.
But then you and most of the genes we share stole it. I hate you.
See, the thing is, like, on the article that I'm reading, like, people in internet comments can just go choke on a bag of dicks. Like a whole, not like a fun size bag of dicks, but like a family size bag of dicks. Because the only way to reach the first comment on this from user Midwesterner 656324. And apparently four people like this comment. Not only is the kid an airhead, those who attended and didn't even know her are equally ignorant. All need to get a frickin' life.
I think I teabagged him.
What do you want? Miss Midwestern.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, was this on the...
No, it's on my new social networking site.
Teabag?
Instead of disliking, you teabag someone.
Oh, right. No, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like doing pre-pro for today was like pulling teeth because everything was gunshots. Everything.
Everything was crime.
Everything was crime. I don't like it. I mean, there's like goofy stuff and we can do that every once in a while, but like everything was like, oh, I'm going to joke about somebody's girlfriend dying after being shot in the face. Just like
the homeless girl who was invited to prom, like given a free ticket to prom. Did you read that?
And then shot.
No, she was. So for some reason, like this, and this isn't even part of my shtick. But this girl, this is awful. Like I read about this girl's life. I read the headline, which was homeless girl gets free ticket to prom. Life good until she has to go home after prom.
Go what home?
Yeah, exactly. Which it's like wow, that's pretty funny. And then you read about this girl's life. And I was like, you know, I put it in my OneNote and I was ready to go with it. And then I read about this girl's life and I was like, oh, her mom's sick and they lost their house and fucking their pickup truck got stolen and their dog like ate their dad. And
the whole dad, he ate the whole thing.
Just the whole thing. The whole dad.
The whole dad was gone. She was
the whole
all.
Dad. And then like the brother, like he told the dog to eat the dad. And then once the dog had energy from eating the dad, the brother like ran away on the dog, like rode the dog away. And it was just a terrible story.
It was rough.
Yeah.
They couldn't even afford the saddle.
It was worse,
dog.
Like when my mind made up stuff in the story.
Yeah.
But like originally the story was pretty bad.
Yeah. It's.
But yeah, it was a, it was a pretty crazy week.
Yeah,
and you can always look at like other cultures.
Okay.
And just for instance, like you can call like tech support for some place, and when you call, you get India, and you can hate them for like, "Hello, Mr. Ross.
My name is Seth."
My name is Dave.
I mean, yeah, this is fucking super treaded territory, but you know,
yeah.
You ever had one give you an anecdote
as part of the script or like an ad lib?
Well, it's like, yeah, just telling you about how your day is going before he gets to the fatal exception on line 39. No, but just like it's like a fucking Jeopardy introduction, like just like, "Hey, my name is Dave, and I love surfing." You've never gotten that?
Fucking great, Dave. You don't think I won't fly there?
Okay.
There are reasons to hate people in other countries beyond the tech support that they give or the products that they make that poison your children.
Yeah, like xenophobia.
And one of those things is like tribal and traditional law in some of these countries.
It's like require that you hate.
I'm going to give you a prime example. A guy named Ram Bahadur is a resident of Allahabad, India. He enjoys having his way with women, whether they like him or not. In particular, the man cornered a widow as she was returning from home from work on March 9th and then proceeded to rape her. In response, the elder of his village ordered him to put together a lavish feast for his friends, family, and neighbors. That's right. The punishment for rape there is to cook dinner.
is to host a killer party.
Do something she didn't want to do. So while she's, you know, on the mend, you're going to do what she was supposed to do.
Oh, God.
According to the village elder.
Okay.
It's an unprecedented sentence that goes against all of India's laws.
Each and every one of them.
Frustrated police officers. Thankfully, real law trumps tribal law. So the dude has been arrested.
Good.
In addition,
fuck that
village
dude.
Elder also may be arrested.
This is a culture where it's like it's okay to like throw acid on a woman's face so no man will have her.
Just that whole region.
Like there's stuff about that region that's like fucking amazing, like Tibet and Nepal and you know just all these kind of like really kind of like awesome spiritual cultures and things like that. But just there's shit there that's just absolutely fucked.
Yeah. Just, and we can just send out a call to pretty much the Middle East, northeastern Africa, the Indies,
as well as
the southern region of China. Fucking knock it off.
Just knock it off. Like you know, after you do your whole like revolution thing, and you know the dust settles. Why don't you build a culture that doesn't like that doesn't enforce rape dinners? How about that?
See, no, they're in denial. They're pretending. Like, no, I'm sorry, dude. I didn't get your voicemail. I didn't get your email. I didn't see your website. I didn't see your Facebook post. I didn't see your tweet. It's not okay to do this shit.
It's not okay to do any of the things that you're doing to women.
Just look at this area. It's on my whiteboard right here, and I'm drawing it. And this area here, this shit you're doing,
it's not cool. It's not.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Did you know that in India, if a woman's husband dies, she is compelled to throw herself upon his funeral pyre. This is like just barely getting in. Okay. Like after that, like depressing story. Cause
why is that depressing?
Well, it's because like, that's like all joking aside and like all of my, you know, liberal cultural relativism aside, that people still have that attitude, you know, that rape is okay. It breaks my heart.
As long as it precedes a big meal, it's awesome.
God. Man, what's a guy have to do to get a good meal around here? Oh, that.
Just rape somebody, dude.
Jesus Christ.
Good Lord.
Every time you say that word, you're breaking my heart. So I'm going to move on to something amazing.
No.
Something amazing that makes me feel really stupid for not having thought of it. And it's always like the little kids who do that. who are like child phenoms who are going to be like richer than like you ever will. Okay. Can I tell you a story about a 13-year-old British schoolboy named, actually has an awesome name too, Lawrence Rook. He is set to earn $410,000 for inventing a new kind of doorbell that wards off burglars. Tell me if this is the most ingenious thing you've ever heard of. Little box, when you press the button, it activates cell phone circuitry, and after 10 seconds of ringing, the homeowner's cell phone is rung. The person at the door and the potential criminal, or the person on the cell phone and the potential criminal, can then have a conversation with the homeowner's audio overlaid with a smattering of white noise to make it sound like a genuine intercom, making the person believe that they are indeed at home. That's cool, right? That's like a good, like, practical invention.
So they're having a real conversation with somebody, or they're just listening to a recording?
No, they're having like a real conversation.
They don't ring the doorbell and doesn't say, "Get the fuck off my porch." That's not.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't do that. It's not like a. It's not a yak back. But it is. But it is like a, just like it rings your cell phone. It has like a little SIM card in it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. He imagined it after his mother expressed frustration of always missing package deliveries, which again is a real practical use for that. I like that. I'd buy one if I was a homeowner.
Everything's just crossover of a crossover.
Well, that's convergence. It's technological convergence.
It's unoriginality.
I think it's a good idea. I don't know.
That's a good idea, but it's very unoriginal.
Okay. It doesn't matter. There's nothing new under the sun, right? Other platitudes.
I don't know what that word is.
It's an animal. It's a mammal, but it has a duck's bill and it lays eggs.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Because you just described my favorite animal.
Oh, really? Did I just fall into a segue trap?
Nope.
Okay.
Do you know what is not like a duck-billed platypus? A rat.
They're actually kind of similar.
They're not in any way.
Oh. Okay. Does a set of all sets contain itself?
I love rats.
Okay.
And as of Sunday, May 29th, I love rats more.
Why?
As dozens of rat lovers gathered in Manhattan to attend the world's fancy rat convention, where pet fashion designer Ada Neves showed off her rodent clothing collection. That's right. It featured rat tuxedos, wedding dresses, bridesmaids' gowns, and other exclusive designs. Her creations come complete with crystals or feathers and sell for about $80 each.
Oh, okay.
The designer is quoted as saying, "The rats look very cute and seem to like wearing the outfits." Rats are very popular these days.
Are they?
And the owners love to dress them.
Do they?
According to rat owners present at the fancy rat convention, despite the negative stereotype people have about rats, these creatures have amazing personalities, which make them much more suitable pets than even cats, dogs, or ferrets.
Okay.
They're very sociable, intelligent, loving, and can be trained to do all kinds of tricks, from dancing to fetching to killing a whole region of people.
No. It was the fleas
fetching.
It was the fleas that did that, so don't worry.
Just fetching.
You know, I think that's amazing, and what's more amazing is all these people have squeaky clean mental health records.
No,
I don't know.
No, they don't.
How do you gain admission to this? Do you have to solve a maze?
Yeah. No, so you just ring a bell with your nose and somebody lets you in.
I've got like a whole list of these here. Yeah.
Keep going. Okay. I'm here.
Okay. Captive audience.
I got really nowhere to go.
I've got literally nowhere to be. Can I tell you a story about some other rats?
Yeah.
Do you remember Balloon Boy?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah? Falcon Heaney?
Was that his name?
Yeah, the Balloon Boy's name was Falcon.
Falcon what?
Falcon Heaney.
Really?
H-E-E-N-E, son of Richard and Mayumi Heaney.
Henny.
Heaney.
Henny. No, two N's. That would be Henny. Never mind.
Heaney, okay.
Onyx Corner. Ba-dup.
Yeah, so back 2009, I think.
Yeah.
The nation was arrested. We were all captivated by watching this this infamous balloon boy soar across the horizon in his UFO-esque aluminum balloon before it crashed, and we found out that nobody was inside the balloon.
Nobody was riding that survival blanket.
Nope. Right. Now, people have been wondering what's happened to the balloon. Apparently, the sensible thing, which is this thing was taken into police custody and never allowed to see the light of day again, or put into the Smithsonian, because that was a defining cultural moment. Actually, the family still has it, and they are intending to auction it off, and the proceeds are going to help victims of the Japanese earthquake. Wait a minute, Chris. Wait a minute. What if they took this technology? They took all these balloons, all right? And they suspended landmass above Japan. They took Japan. They took it physically, bodily from the ocean and made a floating continent that would rest thousands of miles above the ocean. Oh, man. Don't donate the proceeds from the balloon to Japan. Donate a fuck ton of balloons to Japan. We done it. We solved it. We solved the earthquake problem. High five. Chris, high five.
Okay.
Okay, cool. No, it's the thing I'm getting at here, the proceeds are going to charity because legally the family cannot profit from their story until 2013.
I don't want to just say a moratorium or a statue of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's a moratorium.
Statue of Earl.
There's a statue of no liberties in that they cannot live off of their own stories until 4 years after.
Even in America?
There's a statue of no liberties.
There is a statue of no liberties.
Which is everywhere except for where the Statue of Liberty is. Actually, the Statue of Liberty, inside the Statue of Liberty, is the only place where it is legal to murder somebody. At least in the novel that I'm writing.
Hmm.
I don't know.
If you were able to erect a cardboard Statue of Liberty inside the Statue of Liberty.
then it's inverse. It's like multiplying by a negative number.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't even know.
Yeah, which is funny because, you know, just like them, you know, we won't be able to profit off of our story, this podcast, for 4 years. So have
Probably
at
not.
It. Have at it, boys.
How long do you suppose that sausage stays fresh in the freezer?
I don't know. Maybe like a year.
Do you think you could like eat a whole freezer full of sausage in a year?
Like how big of a freezer? Are we talking like an ice chest freezer with the weird yellow light?
Yeah, the scary one.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd do that? Do you think that it would be easier if you were addicted to sausage?
Chris, is this another Dickie Award winner?
No.
Damn it.
I wish it was. It would be much more funny.
Okay.
A 47-year-old named David Harding has become the first man to undergo therapy to cure an addiction to sausage. David has had at least one sausage a day since he was 5 years old, either in sandwiches or fry-ups, which I assume is an English term.
Yeah.
Or as a main meal. He often eats as much as 13 of them a day. He spends around $1,200 a year on sausages.
Well, that's not too bad, considering it's basically all he eats.
Mm-hmm. And he's even bought a deep chest freezer so that he could store his favorite treats.
Okay.
You might wonder when David realized that he had a problem. And that would be last year.
When he had
so
a seventh
if we can
attack.
Just take a pause. He's five and he gets the sausage bug.
He's
now 47. So 42 years have passed. It took him 42 years to realize that he had a problem.
Is it really a problem? Like, unless he has a Rain Man freak out if he gets like a different kind of sausage than he gets.
He realized that he could be a sausage addict.
Okay.
When his wife, Susan, decided to cook something different for dinner.
Hey, honey, I want to try something different.
He didn't get his usual fix, and he acted a little crazy.
How crazy?
Not identified.
Damn it.
But he realized something was wrong, so he decided to seek professional help. So far, he has forked out $3,100 or 2 years worth of sausage money on four sessions with a professional therapist and two with a therapist. But he says he's as far
with
from
a non-professional therapist.
Yeah, exactly. Which I left that in because that didn't make any sense. But I assume like a counselor or like a social worker or something. But he says that he's as far from curing his strange addiction as he was when he first started counseling.
So he's made no progress.
He's 2 years worth of sausage in the hole, and he's no further from wanting more sausage.
I don't understand. That's like the definition of a non-problem. He just really likes that food. Is a diabetic addicted to non-sugar?
I don't know.
Is a diabetic addicted to insulin?
Ask these
probably
questions,
yes,
but I don't even. No.
Well, you can be addicted to like anything. I mean, all it has to do is create a dopamine response, and then you're golden.
Yeah, I mean, he's spending like $3.25 a day on sausage.
Yeah, if it makes you happy, then do it. Like is his weight cited in the article? Because in my experience, like,
he looks like a normal dude.
Yeah, people who do this, they tend to be like hyper skinny. Like, there's a dude who's eaten a Big Mac every single day of his life since he was like
50,000 or 25,000.
Yeah, he like recently broke his record or something like that, and he just looks like a dude. So like, if he's not overweight and he doesn't have like heart problems or anything, or like any more heart problems than he normally would have had by eating a Western diet, what's the problem? This is like the definition of. And I hate it. I loathe when somebody says, first world problems. But this is like the definition of a non-issue. Chris, it really grinds me. It really grinds me down and puts me into a thin case and then into somebody's mouth.
And then extrude you into someone's face.
Extrudes me into somebody's face. Chris, extrude me into somebody's face.
No problem.
That's also a Dickie winner.
Let me get my crank arm ready. Also a Dickie winner.
There's been a bit of a shakeup. So in our homework here, which we're going to try and get through as quickly as possible, those damn Ross kids will still take you to pertinent information about the site, or about the show rather. But by the time this episode goes up, it will actually be routing you to a specific page on duckfeed.tv, that site we mentioned starting a couple weeks ago. That is now like a fully featured thing as a centralized home for currently the two podcasts that I do, eventually going to be more than that.
A whole battling of podcasts.
Yeah, like a battling being?
A group of ducks on the ground.
Yeah, specifically on the ground.
A word that's been obsolete for around 100 years.
A flock, a whole flock of podcasts, our Flockcast network. So yeah, the future like real URL of the show is going to be duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids. Episodes of the show can be found at duckfeed.tv/tdrk. But all of that information, you know, it'll all take you to the same place. It's done out of convenience for both you and me. So aside from that, You can go to duckfeed.tv to check out the other podcasts that I do, especially this one. Find more episodes of this show. And most importantly, subscribe to us on iTunes, which will take you to our iTunes listing where you can give us a review. You can rate us and you can say very nice things about us. You can also from DuckFeed, you can go to the donate tab or duckfeed.tv/donate and drop us some cash if you feel so inclined. We would like to thank Andrew, who has donated a very generous portion to us, which means that right now we have our bandwidth costs for the show covered for this year, which is fantastic. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Andy Brown.
And Andy Brown, that's his name. I didn't know if you wanted to identify him by name.
It's not like he has a fucking unique name.
Okay.
Yeah, Andy Brown from all the Andy Browns you know. I'm thinking specifically the Andy Brown that I know.
Yeah, and I know yeah. I know like 17 of them.
Thanks, dude. Way to make me feel horrible. Appreciate the just like, what do you want me to do? Like,
I don't, let's keep doing the show.
Like, let me just visit your house and like, just here's $30 for getting water. I took three showers
and so that is the going rate of showers, $2.
I'll see you in September, man. Congratulations on the marriage.
Yep. Fantastic. So is there anything else they can do besides make us feel bad? By which, no. I mean awesome.
Yeah, no. I mean, in general.
In general, all that.
In general, just like, come on with it.
Come on, just do it. Do it, you pussy.
Stop that.
All right. So I think that's about it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it for Those Damn Ross Kids. Good night.
Good evening.